vital for us to fellowship together and to encourage one another. And it's also important that we grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Because as we grow in the knowledge of God's Word, then we know God's will for our lives. And we're not uncertain, but we know what He wants from us. So if you have a Bible, great. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. If you don't, we'll have the scripture up on the screen, and you can just follow it along there. So let me go ahead and read our passage as we talk about taking up the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And as always, let's take a moment to pray and ask for God's help in hearing His word and treasuring it in our hearts. Our Father in heaven, we love You. And we are just always blown away by the fact that You have first loved us. You've given Your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Not held Him back, but He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And we now have peace with You because of Him. Thank You for letting us sing to You. And thank You for the work You're doing in us and the work You're doing through us. Thank You for Chris and Jerry and their love for You and their love for the people of Haiti and the children there at that orphanage. Thank You for their evident love seen in the work of their hands. Thank You for how they were able to bless and care for those there. Thank You for letting us take part in such a work together as a church. Lord, now as we have heard Your word, we pray that You would rest upon us by Your Spirit. Help us to focus for this brief time upon Your word, that it would be a lamp to our feet, that it would be the word which dwells in us and nourishes us spiritually, O Lord, to be Your people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So, briefly, talking about the premise of taking up the armor of God, and then as the weeks ahead, we'll talk about some of the pieces of that armor. So, let's talk first just about the command, the means, and the purpose. The command is very clear, is it not? Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. And so verse 11, the means by which we are to be strong in the Lord, verse 11 says, we need to put on the whole armor of God. It literally means the idea of be clothed in these things. My wife was getting ready for the baby shower, or picking out clothing, trying to find the appropriate outfit to wear to her baby shower. It's hard in the wintertime because not a lot of stuff looks pretty in the winter. So I never thought about it that way before, but it was a serious moment. So we have to find the right things to be clothed in, and she's going through different accessories and things like that. Well, the Christian, we have our outfit laid out for us here in these passages. We are to put on the whole armor of God. And the reason why, or the purpose why, comes in verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Another word for schemes could be the methods of the devil. When you're dressed in the armor of the Lord, you are able to stand against the devil's schemes. And the reason why we need this is plain in verse 12. It's because believers are engaged in a spiritual battle. It's not one of flesh and blood, but it's one between the kingdom of darkness, whose ruler is Satan, and between the kingdom of light, who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us by birth, by nature, we start out in the domain of darkness. We've all been ruined in Adam. We talked about the depth of man's sin this morning. We don't have to go through all of that, but we start out under God's wrath and enemies of God. Each of us needs redemption that is in Jesus Christ by his blood on the cross. He's not brought us part of the way out from the curse of sin, but all the way out from the penalty of our sins. He's given us his righteousness, and God has transferred you and I into his kingdom. Paul does that. Paul talks about that in Colossians, that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's something God has done to us. God has brought us to believe in Jesus Christ. God has placed us in his kingdom and placed us into his Son. It's wonderful news. We've been saved in Christ. And we talk about how we'll never be snatched out of Christ's hand. We talk about how good that is to know we're saved and unsnatchable from our eternal life. But the point is, now that we're saved in Christ, we need to learn to stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the other side of the spiritual battle now. You've got a new enemy. His name is the devil. He seeks to make the saints stumble. And I have this next point here just to say, if we want to be able to serve the Lord, it's going to require standing in the Lord. And that's Paul's instruction in Ephesians chapter 6. We didn't save ourselves by our own might, and we're not going to be able to stand by our own might either. A soldier who cannot stand is a soldier who's going to be unable to serve. So in other words, if I'm a saved believer, and I'm an unsnatchable believer, I can't be taken out of Christ's hands, then my concern ought to be that I would be a standing believer. And the Lord's might can make it so that I can withstand in an evil day, no matter how evil it gets. The armor of the Lord is sufficient to help me stand firm in Christ. And that's really so much of the Christian life, standing firm in the world, holding on to our faith. Now, this armor only comes through faith in the gospel. Without faith in Jesus Christ, you can't take up the armor because you don't have the armor. That's what all these things are, having they're the benefits of salvation, not the basis for how we're saved. So that's our premise, and now just the first piece of the armor. Verse 14, I think it's on the next slide here. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Physically, why do we wear belts? You wear it in order to make yourself capable of movement. A lot of tasks we do require you to prepare for movement. If you were going to prepare to bake something at home, you would have to roll up your sleeves. You don't want to wear things with, you know, jewelry hanging down. Or if you got hair, you got to tie it back. Otherwise, it's going to end up in the blender, or you're going to get the mixer going, and you're going to find your hair getting wrapped up inside the mixer, right? You got to prepare for movement. If I go to ride my bike across town, I can't have strings and stuff hanging all over the place. My shoelace is hanging out. I'll get caught in the gears and throw me off the bike. If you're a first century Roman soldier, they wore one long garment. And if he was going to fight in a battle, he had to wear a belt to sort of tie this all together, because your life depends on it. You need to be able to swing a sword and handle a shield. And if your hands are getting caught in the fold of your garment, you're going to be done for. You're going to fall flat on your face. And for him, the movement that the belt allowed was a matter of life and death. And my point is this, that wearing a belt is not usually associated with being comfortable. We have to suck it in. I just ate all these ribs, and I'm like, I ate too much. You're fighting for air, right? And you're kind of like, are my belts shrinking, or is my waist growing, right? Putting a belt on prepares you for action. It's not always comfortable, but it makes you able to move. And what I wanted to just encourage us with this evening is that in the Christian life, easiness is not equated with faithfulness. It takes effort to be all that Christ has now. He saved us. It takes effort to stand in the Lord. And we're to put on the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Well, I think simply, there's a lot of ways to go at it, but it's basically this. Having come to the truth of Jesus Christ for salvation, Paul's saying we now need to continue in truthfulness as a way of life. Having come to the truth of Christ as our Savior, we now need to continue in truthfulness as a way of life. We have to be truth-loving people. Can't wrap ourselves in falsehood or in false thinking, but in truthfulness. There's a sincerity that should define us. We should be able to tell one another when we're straying from true thinking. It's a desire to be honest with God and honest about God. It involves being honest about ourselves and being honest in our presentation of ourselves to other people. And having come to the light of Christ as our Savior, we can't go back into the dark. Other examples, having learned the truth of how we're now to live, we have to keep that truth close at hand. And it's our truthfulness that keeps us from tripping over ourselves when we fall into false thinking or things that are not true as we think about ourselves or think about God. Every lie we latch onto becomes the occasion for stumbling, the occasion for tripping over. But when we put on the belt of truth, we'll find, there's nothing left for me to trip over. The Lord is helping me stand in the truth of Christ and stand in the truth of thinking and doing, living the way that He wants me to. So I'll close with this. Just a couple of things to reflect on. Maybe where, as you're hearing this, you're saying, I've lost truthfulness in this area of my life, or perhaps another area of my life, and it's become an occasion for me to be tripped up. Maybe it's something about God or something about myself, something about my situation and what the will of God is for me. And this is an encouragement to get back into truthfulness, to loving that. I'm encouraged by 1 John chapter 1, where the Apostle John says, if we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if and when we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can always come to the light of Christ, and He will take us to Himself. But also, on an encouraging note, our commitment to truthfulness is all God needs from us to make us able to stand and to be able to stand tall in Jesus Christ. This is God's first piece for making you able to serve Him. And insofar as you are committed to the truth is how far you'll be able to stand tall in Christ. But we'll never stand one inch taller than we are committed to truthfulness in our lives. So we'll close with Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 5, just the chapter before, beginning in verse 8. He says, at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, all that is right, and all that is true. So as we put on the belt of truth, we'll produce the things the Lord wants us to produce. So let's pray now, and we'll close. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the reminder of, again, impressing upon us that You have saved us from sin through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You that You're not done with us at that point, but that now You long for us to be able to stand firm in an evil day. We thank You for this challenge of the Word, that we're reminded what it takes is truthfulness. And it's humbling to remember, Lord, that we won't be able to stand any taller than we are truthful. So we pray that as we've heard this Word, it would stick with us, and that You would teach us to hunger for truth in all things, in the way that we think about ourselves, in the way that we think about You, in the way that we speak. We pray that You'd help us to have that belt of truth fastened on so that we can be prepared for the action You have for us to do. We love You, Lord, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.